Well, here we are, inside the Ark. It's a good day to be in this church. But what are we doing here? And I don't mean here today. I don't mean here today for this event. Of course, we are here for the ordination of Amanda Nelson. I mean, what are we doing here in this gospel-infused, sacramental gathering of sinners? What are we doing here as Jesus people in the church? What is this crazy, challenging faith life really all about? Are we here because it's a habit? It's what we do on Sundays. It's just that we got the time wrong and we're a little late this morning. Are we here for perpetuation of buildings, committees, and denominational loyalty? Are we here because Emmanuel Attleboro has a reputation for throwing good receptions? Why are we here? I asked Amanda her favorite scripture. She wrote back, Romans 12. I asked what part, thinking a verse or two. She said, all of it. I thought, all of it. Geez, woman, how long do you want this sermon to be? Then I read it. Oh, my. And I think we'll take a glimpse all the way through Romans 12. And we'll use Eugene Peterson's version from The Message, because I think it answers the question, what are we doing here? It starts. Paul writes, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. It's like, was Paul watching television? I don't know. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Ah, great stuff. I love the line, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's the translation of present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Biblical people built altars and offered sacrifices. Hebrew scribes and prophets offered a training for our imaginations to grasp that virtually everything we do has something to do with God. But it requires God's action to make us fit for God. In other words, it's not just us, it's what God does with our us. So bring your whole lives, eating, sleeping, drinking, walking, going to work, before God. We let go as an offering. We give God our best. And what does God do with it? But more than that, we bring our well-intentioned, rebellious, inadequate, and sin-flawed ways as well. And let's see what God does with that. And what does God offer? But a redemption, a wholeness, a forgiveness, a healed and restorative act, but not in the ways we typically see it or think of it. For typically in our culture, when there is a redemptive drama that is performed, it is often by someone from the outside coming in and pulling us out of trouble, aka Superman, Clint Eastwood, or Mighty Mouse. When I wrote that, I immediately thought of Andy Kaufman singing, "Here I am to save the day." But God's redemption arrives from the inside. Jesus enters the troubled condition and receives it into himself, becomes the sacrifice that is transformed into a life of salvation. Jesus enters into the tormented soul of an alcoholic seeking redemption and healing. Jesus enters the lonely heart of an anguished lover. Jesus enters the racially divided community. Jesus enters the injustice and economic turmoil of those left behind. And today, Jesus enters our hearts. This space takes in all our inadequacies and delivers them all to the cross. And what do we do in response to that is the answer to what are we doing here anyway? Paul continues, "I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace." It's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God. Ah, living in pure grace. I want that. God brings it all to you. We are not climbing Jacob's ladder, climbing the merit system of God's grace. We are not God's superachievers. Well, some of us are. No, God. God brings it to us. Even those of us who are the superachievers. Now, I would be remiss as a bishop if I did not take note that today is not just simply an ordination day for Amanda Nelson, but it is also the Sunday of the Holy Trinity, the Sunday set aside for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to get its rightful airtime, sufficient coverage, and adequate pontification. This is a Sunday in the church year often dreaded by preachers for bearing the burden of summarizing 2,000 years of Christian theology influenced by Greek philosophical Neoplatonism with an appropriate articulation of the 1091 Great Schism, in which the debate was whether or not the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father or the Holy Spirit proceeds from Father and Son. All in 10 minutes on a Sunday morning. And equally dreaded by listeners to those sermons. In reality, we do not know God by defining, describing, dissecting God. We know God by playing with God. You heard me. By playing with God. The Trinity is a way of articulating that God is both personal and interpersonal. God is relational, and the only way I know how to get to know someone is to play with them. I'm sorry, I'm still a toddler. A little bit of a tall one, but. And from a story that I just heard about Amanda about 10 minutes ago, in which she was in her home, and discovered at the age of 2.5 what happens if you take an egg out of the refrigerator and you drop it. Do I have this right, Pastor Elizabeth Crensway? Yes. This was clearly a scientific experiment, which apparently Amanda decided to repeat. It's a good thing the family had omelets that morning, otherwise it would have been all dozen of us. We discover God by playing with God. Talk with someone. Listen to someone. Dance with someone. This God, this three dancing beings, is inviting for us to join God on the dance floor. Let's go dancing. Paul continues, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. Did you hear that? Each part gets its meaning from the whole. Not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. That would be you and I, right here, right now. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of God's body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Ah, I dream of that world. If you preach, just preach God's message. Nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of the whole. We all have a part to play on the dance floor of life with the Holy Trinity. What is your part? Do not think it is too small or insignificant. This past week, New York Times columnist David Brooks writes of the value of the small and significant. Brooks asked readers to write to him about their views to the keys to the good life. He had expected the contributors to dream big, set ambitious goals, try to change the world, the kind of thing we're hearing at graduation speeches these days. And every year. In fact, a surprising number of people found, in writing to Brooks, their purpose by going the other way, by pursuing the small happy life. Brooks writes, Elizabeth Young once heard the story of a man who was asked by a journalist to show his most precious possession. The man, Young wrote, quote, was proud and excited to show the journalist the gift he had been bequeathed. A banged up tin pot he kept carefully wrapped in a cloth as though it was fragile. The journalist was confused. What made this dingy old pot so valuable? The message, the friend replied, the message was, we do not all have to shine, but we still can get the job done. Today, we set aside this young woman, Amanda Nelson, to play her part on the dance floor. She comes to this place nurtured by her family, by this congregation. This congregation, how cool is it that we are here with all of you that have been part of her life for so long? Thank you for the gift you have done. And we have people from the Congregation of Faith Lutheran Church in East Hartford, Connecticut here for your wisdom, your clarity of vision to call this woman to be your pastor. Thank you. Amanda has many gifts that she brings to the dance floor. Do you dance, by the way?
Yeah.
You do now. She is a preacher, a teacher, and a leader. She has strong views and convictions, but she is also a careful listener. And you need both to do this work. St. Paul concludes, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if she's thirsty, get her a drink. Your generosity will surprise those people with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Now, there is some great advice for a pastor, a new one, an old one, or an in-between one, which I think covers everybody. Three of them, just quickly before we close. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled. Make friends. Get support. Build fun into your life. Ministry is a marathon. It is a sprint. And although some try to run the 100-meter dash, you cannot do that for 26.2 miles. Pace yourself. Don't quit in hard times. Perseverance is not practiced much in our culture, and yet it is needed. In many ways, one could say that we have become a nation of quitters. Don't give up too soon. Most of the time, it's when you hit the wall of resistance that you know, I must be doing Christ's work if it's getting this much resistance. And finally, don't hit back. Discover the beauty in everyone. Oh my, oh my. You want to not conform to this world? Practice this one. This is countercultural Christianity. Years ago, actually it was months ago, but years ago sounds better in a sermon. A friend of mine, actually, he was my therapist. Oh, forget the whole thing. Okay. So in January, I'm sitting with my therapist. And I'm grousing about somebody whose name I will leave off. And he says to me, you know, most people are doing the best they can with what they have. I hate him for saying that to me. Because it's true. Those words convicted me and made me realize Paul writing a long time ago, don't hit back. Discover the beauty in everyone. So what are we doing here? Today we are lifting up and setting apart one person, Amanda Nelson, for the office of Pastor of Word and Sacrament. But we are also once again, setting each and every one of us apart for the ministry we are all called to do and be. Playful dancers. Playful countercultural dancers. Offering our bodies up as living sacrifices for the sake of the world. Shall we dance? Amen.